All right, so we greet you in Jesus' name again this evening. It is excellent to be able to be here and to worship the Lord together. And thank you for coming. I realize, I recognize tonight that it is a beautiful evening. And it was a lovely Saturday. Some of you probably worked outside today. And if you didn't work outside today, you should have. Okay. My wife and I were working outside today, and I think we have the color to prove it. So anyway, lovely evening. It would have been great, great evening to just relax and stay home and enjoy. But you came to church. So good job. Thank you. God bless you for doing that. We're going to look at a message tonight. We are thinking about a theme. Our theme being, who am I in Christ? Get rid of all my cards in my pocket here. Who am I in Christ? And we have been answering this question, definitely not extensively, but to a point, to a degree. First night we talked about being born again. A person who is in Christ Jesus is a person who has been born again. And they have the transforming work of God upon their heart. They're a new person. And then the second evening, which was on Thursday evening, we talked about being dead to sin and alive to God. And so there is no way in a few messages to completely define for us who we are in Christ, because that's a very extensive subject. But we'll look at a few more things yet as we are together. Tonight we're going to look at being God's person, okay? So in Christ Jesus tonight, you are God's person. That means that you belong to Him. And as God's person, you will function in the way that He directs you to. And so what does it mean tonight to be God's person? Now, I'm assuming tonight that you are a people that believe in the ownership of private property. Not necessarily your property as far as your boundaries of your land or whatever. I scared my neighbors off years ago. We moved to a new place out in the country, and the neighbor came over and said, "I hope you don't mind, but I've been walking my dog along the back fence of your property for the last several years, and we're hoping that you don't mind." And I said, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." I said, "This land is God's land." And guess what? They didn't walk their dog there anymore. I wonder why. I guess they didn't want to invade on God's property or something. I'm not sure. But we all understand private ownership. We give people a birthday present or a Christmas present or any kind of gift, and everybody else is supposed to stand back and let them enjoy the gift, right? How is it when sometimes when it's little children involved, you give a gift to the child that's having the birthday, and big brother comes along and boom, grabs it out of their hand, and and we say, "Hey, wait, it belongs to him." And, well, they have no idea what that means. But we understand that when a person owns something, they're allowed to be in control, right? When you own something, you're allowed to be in control of it. And so when God owns something, He's allowed to be in control of it. And if we are God's person, then God is allowed to be in control of us. So let's turn in our Bible tonight to 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to look at just a few verses here. But these verses are rather concentrated with truth. A lot of it. Some scriptures are a little more like, you know, you're reading Chronicles and you read a lot of names. And finally get to a verse of inspiration. Oh, yeah, there's a good one. After all those names. And some other scriptures, it's like the writer took all kinds of spiritual truth and manifested into concentrated form. Well, the couple of these verses here, that's the way they are. All kinds of things coming out in just a few verses here. So let's just read this. We're going to read verses 9 to 11. You can follow along as I read it. It says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." And so we're talking about who am I in Christ? And here Peter tells us what and who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not a whole lot, right? It's just not a whole lot. It's not much. It's a lot. He says a lot. He says you're big. He says you're important. He says you've got a function. You're not a nobody. You're not a nothing. And you're not someone with nothing to do. You have been given a pretty big, heavy order by God as his child. You have a very special and powerful position and responsibility. And so we're going to look at a few things here more closely, noticing who and what we are. Now, first thing we are looking at here is in verse 9. It talks about being a chosen generation. Now, probably you're familiar with the story of Esther. One of the most famous lines in the book of Esther is, "Who knows but what you are come to the kingdom for such a time as this." One of the most famous lines in the book of Esther. And you know what? The same goes for you, and the same goes for me. Who knows but what we have come into this world at this time, at this place, for such a time and for such a work as this. You know, God has a great program, and God has great plans, and you and I have the privilege of fitting into that. And we are here by God's design in 2022. How many of you wish you'd have been born some other time? Anybody like that? You wish you'd have been born another time. There's some things about this time that I don't really like all that great. You know, things were simpler in 1975 when I was growing up. Do any of you that are about the same age as me agree that things seemed kind of simpler back then? Yeah, things were simpler back then. Our world has become so complicated and so complex. And all the media and all the electronics and all of that stuff that causes us so much challenge and frustration. Hopefully some benefit too. Those things weren't around. If you wanted to listen to music, you had to turn on a radio. Or you had to put in an 8-track tape. Okay, some of you remember 8-track tapes? It wasn't everywhere, and it wasn't all the time. It was just a little simpler back then. And probably the people that were around in the 70s that had been around in the 50s or the 40s said, "Wow, the olden days when things were so much simpler than they are in the 70s. You know, that's probably how it was. But you know what? We can't. There's one reality. One reality and truth tonight we cannot deny, and that is that we are here now. We're not looking at the past and say, "Well, I'm going to dwell back there." And we can't look at the future and say, "I'm going to hang out 50 years from now," because a lot of us, we're not going to be around then. Maybe none of us will be around then. Who knows? And that's quite fine. But God has put us here. He could have put us on earth at some other time, but he put us here now. And so we're a chosen generation. We are here now to do the work of God and to be his people in 2022. And so What are we going to do with the opportunities and the responsibilities that God has placed upon us in this time? Now, you are here today, and some of you here this evening are young. Now, that's, what's the definition of young? Sometimes I've thought I was young. I'm getting over it, all right? I'm getting over it because I'm feeling like I'm not so young anymore. And obviously, I'm not looking so young anymore. But I still feel pretty good. I'm still pretty energetic, so that's all right. Good. We'll keep going as long as we can. But some of you are young, some of you are middle-aged, and some of you are older. A few of you. Ah, no, there's nobody here like that. No older people here. Well, it's all relative, isn't it? But we are all aging at the same rate, and we're all moving on in the scene of life, and some of us soon may be passing from this life. And so we are here now. The truth of God and the gospel message and the church of Jesus Christ, the heritage of the faithful, has been passed on to you. It's been given to you. And what are you going to do with it? Are you going to count it as something valuable and important? Or are you going to look at it and say, well, no big deal? Others before you have been faithful in serving the Lord and in passing on an authentic and relevant faith. And we need to take it seriously. And so we all have a place to fill. You know, and the more I think you do get older and wiser. I think wiser does go along with getting older, okay? But I've been talking to a lot of people for many years. And I have, just talking to a brother the other day, and he works at a landfill. Okay, now I don't think any of you work at a landfill. Anybody here work at a landfill? Would that be your dream job? This man works at the landfill. And I was telling him, I said, Brother Harry, today I was out on my knees killing weeds in my asparagus patch. This was yesterday. And he said, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, Ted. I just don't think I would enjoy that. And then I look at him and I say, you work at a landfill, brother. I don't think I would enjoy that. And so, the point is, we are all cut out for something different. No two people are exactly alike. We all have a position and a place to fill. And so we need to fill it to the best of our ability, to the glory of God. Okay? So take whatever gifts God has given you, whatever duties, responsibilities, or opportunities God has given you, and do your best. Fill the place well. Occupy whatever God has given to you, and do your best in whatever it is. And so tonight, faithfulness marks the path of those before you, and you inherit a heritage of godliness, and we need to appreciate that. And so take that gospel, take that truth, take that heritage and appreciate it, cleave to it, promote it, and live it out in 2022. The next thing he says here is that we are a royal priesthood. Now, y'all know what the word royal is about, right? In the United States of America, we do not have what is considered a royal family. Unless, you know, maybe you can think of it. I can't. We talk about the president, we talk about the first lady, but they're not really considered royal, okay? You look at other nations. My son just did a report on, what's that little circle country down there in the bottom of South America? Used to be Lesotho, but it's not anymore. Anyway, he did a report on it, and there is actually, I believe there's a king in that country. And there's other places in the world where there is a king, and there is a royal family, and Royalty obviously has to do with a king and a queen and a prince and a princess and, you know, that kind of a setting. And we are called a royal priesthood because it has to do with a connection to the King of Heaven, the King of Glory, the King, Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords, and you are connected to him. You're royalty. You're part of his royal family. You're part of his royal kingdom. So it's royal because it is about your king. You are a child and a servant of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so your position in his kingdom is royalty. And sometimes we don't think we count for much, but we are royalty in his kingdom. And so as a child of this king, how do we carry ourselves in this world? Now we know that our brother just read to us that we are to humble ourselves before God. We are to walk in humility. But walking in humility doesn't mean that we are despondent and dejected and discouraged. You know, some people walk around with their shoulders slumped like this. You know, they, you know, maybe you have a physical condition, that's okay. Okay? If you've got a physical condition that has you in this condition, that's okay. But you know what? As a child of God, we should carry ourselves with some dignity. We really should. We need to recognize that we are connected to the great King of Heaven. And as one who is connected to him, I am representing him and his kingdom in this world. And so I want to present myself in a way that has some dignity and some respect and some honor. Royal. We recognize the position of a priest. A priest is a person who stands between. Okay? And I don't have to give you a big long lesson about how it was in the Old Testament, do I? Do I have to give you a lesson about that? But the priest was somebody who was allowed to meet with God behind that curtain in the tabernacle or in the temple, okay? The priest was allowed to go in there and meet with God. And the people, they're all out there, okay? He's a person that goes between God and people. And so that's what a priest does. And God says, that's what you are. You are a person who goes to God, and you're a person who relates to people. So you stand between. In the Old Covenant, the offspring of Aaron were appointed as the priests, and their position is to stand between sinful people and a holy God. And that is where you stand. Tonight, you are a person. Profoundest statement of the night. You are a person, and as a person, you can relate to other people. Profound. But as a child of God, you get to relate to God. Okay? And that is, I can't communicate this adequately to you tonight, how much of an awesome privilege it is to relate to the God of heaven. I am delighted and excited that every day I can talk to him. I can walk with him. I can relate to him. I can serve him with my life. I can relate to God, and at the same time, I can relate to people. And so we are a priesthood here this evening. I wonder if at times, I know that I do not grasp this fully, and I don't think we grasp this fully, what our position is in the kingdom of God, okay? We are God's communication to the world, to the sinful men around us. We are his representative, and we are a priest bringing people and God together. And so we are able to speak for God as his priest. We're able to represent him. We're able to show him and model him to a society that is far, from him. And that is no less tonight than a royal priesthood. And so this is who I am in Christ. I am a royal priesthood. It's an awesome responsibility. And so tonight, please don't take it lightly. Would you agree with me tonight? I think you know this tonight. The world needs Jesus. The world needs Jesus. The world needs a relationship with God. And you know what? I'm not sure. I don't think there's any other solution out there that's going to fix the world's problems. Jesus Christ has been the answer in my life. I believe Jesus Christ has been the answer in your life. And he is the answer for everyone, everyone's life. And so we bring him to the world. Paul puts a little different spin on it in 2 Corinthians 5:20. I think we use this word already, but he says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God." And so that has political implications. An ambassador is one who represents a foreign land in a different land. And so we belong to a foreign land. Have we come to that realization and understanding that we belong to a foreign land? I'm a child of heaven, and Christ is my king. That makes me a member of a foreign land, and I'm representing that land in this land. Jesus clearly said, and I don't know why everybody doesn't get this, but there's a lot of people that don't get this. And maybe we don't get it either. I don't know. I think there are some parts of this we don't get either. But John 18, 36, "My kingdom is not of this world." Do we get that? "If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." And so Jesus is not denying that he owns a kingdom. Jesus does own a kingdom. He is the king of the kingdom. And you and I tonight, we belong to his kingdom. And the kingdom of Christ is not of this world. It is not an earthly kingdom. And so you bring to this earth, you bring to this earth messages from your king in representing his kingdom. You bring his message to this earth. And you bring the influence of your king upon the hearts and lives of those around you. Yours is the ministry of reconciliation, bringing man and God together, because you're a royal priesthood. Yours is a royal priesthood tonight. So, since we are a royal priesthood tonight, what are you going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? Am I going to be like a turtle and just kind of pull myself back into my shell? Anybody tend to do that? You feel like doing that sometimes? Just kind of curling up inside your shell and let the world go by? You know what? If you have such an awesome privilege and responsibility as representing the King of Glory, the King of Heaven to this world, maybe we need to come out of our shell and take it serious and say, you know what, how this person that I'm relating to here, how can I bring the kingdom of God to bear on that person's life? Maybe it's by just simply being a good godly person and you know, speaking kind words, whatever, I don't know. Maybe it would be to speak the name of Jesus to them and challenge them perhaps. What can we do to be an effective priesthood for the Lord Jesus Christ? Then he says, you're a holy nation. And we all know tonight that if we're looking for holy, it's not on TV. Holy is probably not on most of the radio. And those are old technologies, I know. But where do you look if you're looking for something holy or somebody holy? Holy has altogether to do with God. And the fact that the people of God, you say, well, maybe, you know, look for holy among the people of God. Well, the only reason the people of God are holy is because of God, not because of them. The reason I'm holy in any form or fashion is because of God in my life. Otherwise, I wouldn't be. Same goes for you. And so holy is descriptive of God. And so God is holy. And that is where we look for holy. And so if holy describes God, and you are a holy nation, that means you are to be a nation that is like God, right? You are a nation that is like God. So if I was to ask you tonight, how much like God are you? I don't know if that's easy to, we can't really measure that real well. Some people might think they're a lot like God, but maybe God looks at them differently. Said, well, God might look at them and say, yeah, not too much. But how much like God are we? If we're called a holy nation, then that means that we are a people who is aspiring to be more and more like God. All right? Is that something we can understand? So the aspiration of my heart and my life is to be becoming more and more like God. And if you want to know what God is like, well, God tells us a lot of things about himself. But we read in Galatians, we read the fruit of the Spirit. Okay. The fruit of the Spirit, in my understanding, must be descriptive of God, because that is what the Spirit of God, who is a member of God, a person of God, produces in my life. So God is very much like the fruit of the Spirit and many other things as well. And so we are to be a God-like nation. If we read the law, I think we'll read the whole thing tonight. Should we read the whole law tonight? Should we go through the whole thing? Five books of the Bible, or actually more specifically some of the later ones, the first five books of the Bible. But if we read the law, I'll just read you a verse or two here. Leviticus 19:1-2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. That was instructions to Israel. Did they do a good job with that? If you gave them a grade, would they get an A, B, C, D, F? They didn't do very good, did they? God said, you're my people. You need to be holy. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And then we read in the epistles, excuse me, 1 Peter 1:15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in a few parts of your life. Is that right? Okay, you're going to accept that the way it is. You're going to accept that tonight? He says, be holy in all manner of conversation. So we're a holy nation tonight, brothers and sisters. So I ask you tonight, is holy the standard you use to make your decisions in all of life? Holy is the standard, okay? How do we usually or often make decisions? Well, look at what they're doing. Do you ever do that? Do you ever look around you and say, what are they doing? Yeah, I think I'll do that too. You know, often we measure our decisions by what other people do and not by holiness. We listen to things, and in this day and age, we have much opportunity to watch things, and we think about things, and we do things, and we go places, and we read things, and sometimes we are failing to use the right standard for what we're doing. It is to be holy. There is actually to be nothing left out. Be holy in all manner of conversation. All of your life, the decisions you make are based on holy. Holy is the standard for God's people. And one of my old sayings, this is from years ago. I don't think it's original with me, but if you want to be happy, how many of you want to be happy? We want to be happy, right? Holy. Holy and happy go together. You want to find a person that's miserable? A miserable person is a person who's religious, but not holy. That's a miserable person. Okay? Religious, but not holy, is miserable. But a person who's holy is invariably a happy person. That's because sin, like we said a few nights ago, sin is a total ripoff. And it is a misery maker. If you want to be a miserable person, just let a little bit of sin fester in your life and you'll be miserable. But you get rid of it and live a holy life, you don't have a care in the world. Well, there's still a few. But you can be happy when you're holy. Let's move on here. He says next that you are a peculiar people. Now, we like to think of the word peculiar means really strange. And actually, it sort of fits. We're unusual. We don't do the same. We talked about this the other night, being dead to sin and alive to God, how we just don't function normally. We're not normal people. Because normal people, when they're given opportunities to sin, why not? Of course. Hey, that's fun. Let's go ahead and do it. You know? We don't do that. We say, no, that's not for me. That's sinful. That's offensive to God. I won't do that. And that's unusual. That is peculiar. That's strange. But this word peculiar actually has more of an idea of being special. Set apart, special, purchased. Exodus 19:5 and 6 uses the same type of terminology. It says, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice, indeed. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to stop there, right? I'm going to talk to you only momentarily about being obedient to God. God gave us his word, and if God would have wanted his word to say something else, guess what he would have done? He'd have said something else, right? Another profound statement for tonight, okay? If God would have wanted to say something else, he would have, but he said this. He inspired this. And so the commands that we find in the word of God are things that God intends us to know. And a command is inherent, and a command is the expectation that it's going to be done, kept, obeyed. So God expects us and calls us to obey him. And when we do, we find it is excellent. And so he says, if you obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then shall ye be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. A lot of similar terminology to the scripture we're looking at. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And so God says, you'll be a treasure to me. And I want to tell you tonight, brothers and sisters, some of us walk around with an inferiority complex and we're not sure if God's happy with us or not. We just aren't quite sure. God says, you're my treasure. You're my treasure, God says to you. And if God says you're his treasure, then what should he be to you? Then he should be your treasure, right? It is a treasuring relationship that you can have with God. He treasures you, you treasure him in return. We treasure one another in that relationship. And so if God looks down at you and says, there is my peculiar treasure, then we can love him as the God who looks at us like that. Now, these things are done. These things are our identity for a purpose. These four things we just looked at, that we should show forth the praises. Functioning in these positions to which God calls you, brings him praise and glory. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and also be led to glorify your Father which is in heaven." And so we are to bring him praise and glory. And you personally praise God, and then others are led to praise God as well, because your life is a reflector of God to those around you. God shines into your life, and then God shines out of your life to those around you. And this causes them to look heavenward, say, "Hey, that person is unusual. They're different. They're special. It must have something to do with God." So then they look to God and say, "What is it about that person?" And so they're led, perhaps, to praise him as well. And then he says that you're called out of darkness. Called out of darkness into light. Is there any darkness in your life tonight? Please. Please pause and think, is there any darkness in my life tonight? How much darkness is there in God? Any darkness in him? We're told in 1 John, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And since there is no darkness in God, that means there must be and should be no darkness in me or in you. No darkness. If there's a dark corner in my heart, I need to get the light shining in there. Hey, shine the light on it. Get it out into the open. Deal with whatever that darkness is. Deal with it. So is there something that you are hiding tonight? We're called out of darkness. Any area that you have yielded to the Prince of Darkness? And if there is a little area in your life, the life that you have yielded to the Prince of Darkness, where is that going to end? Is that all it's going to be? If he has a little bit of darkness in your life, guess what? He wants more. He wants more and more and more. He's not going to be satisfied with a tiny little speck of your heart. He wants all of it. And so don't allow any darkness, no darkness. And so let him shine his light into your heart. Hiding your sin, we're told in Proverbs 28:13, if you hide your sin, you will not prosper. Hidden sin tonight will bleed the life right out of you. You cannot prosper. You cannot be in good health spiritually or be useful to God while concealing sin in your life. Sin is a parasite. We said this earlier. Sin is a parasite, a thief, a dark shadow, a painful infection. It is a fatal flaw, a blockage in your spiritual arteries. And so we need to deal with it even tonight. He goes on to say that you were not a people in the past, but now you are a people. You had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. And so this is a beautiful identity that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Calls us strangers and pilgrims. And I want us tonight, live that way. Okay, live in this world as a stranger. A stranger is someone who doesn't fit in. I was on the phone today with a man whose name was Vladimir. Now, do you know too many Vladimirs? If a man has a name Vladimir, what do you think about him? You think, well, he's probably not from around here. And it didn't take long talking to this man named Vladimir on the phone that I realized this man was not from around here. His accent proved that he was from elsewhere, probably from Russia, maybe Ukraine, maybe one of those countries over there where they speak, so, you know, one of those countries over there. Yeah, he's a stranger. Somehow he ended up on this soil, but he carries where he came from, he carries it with him. Years ago, we had a number of immigrants come to Reading from Russia, sponsored by different churches, whatever, and you know what? You can be driving down Cotton Street in Reading, and everybody's the same, the same, the same, the same. There's one of those Russian ladies. They didn't fit in. They stuck out like a, we won't call it a sore thumb. That's not very nice. But they were very obvious. They had their kerchief on. They had their blouses and their skirts, and they, you know, obviously they were strangers. They just didn't fit in. You are strangers in this world. You don't fit in. And you know what a pilgrim is, right? A pilgrim is, you know, they ride in the Mayflower across the Atlantic Ocean and they come to Plymouth, Massachusetts, right? That's pilgrims. Oh, pilgrims are people that are passing through, okay? Passing through. They're moving from one place to another. And so you are a pilgrim here tonight. You're passing through. You're going from one place to another. The other place we're going is heaven, by the way. And that's where we belong. That's where we're headed for. Right now we belong here because that's where we are, but we're pilgrims. We are moving through. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. We could talk about that all evening, the rest of it. But that means that the fleshly lusts, the desires of the flesh, they are assaulting our soul with the intention of destroying us. That's what fleshly lusts will do. They will destroy a person's soul. So we abstain from them. We say no to them. We don't allow those things to take over our life. And then make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's Romans 13, 14. But instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, represent him well. You are four things God says about you. And your homework is, homework, the rest of your life. This is the rest of your life. Figure out how to be the chosen generation God calls you to be, the royal priesthood, the holy nation, and the peculiar people. Figure it out and live it out. Go forth in this truth and represent God well, because you are his person. You're his person. Okay? All right. That's the end of the message. We are not going to give an invitation tonight. But God has communicated to my heart and to your heart tonight what he calls us to. And so let's aspire. Let's aspire. You know, it used to be years ago, I would lay in bed, and this was really foolish because of my position, because of my possibilities and opportunities. I would financially scheme in my mind about things. How can I get ahead financially? I don't do that anymore. I think about it sometimes, but more often than not, I'm thinking about, what should my next sermon be? God, please show me my next sermon. What should I preach about? That's great thinking material, by the way. And hey, maybe, you know, pray God, say, God, please make me a preacher so I get to think about things like that. That's great. What an opportunity. But you know what? We should be scheming in our minds how to be more effective for God. How to be a greater, a better representative of God in this world. How to be a better witness for him. What can I do differently? What can I do better? God is worthy of our best efforts. Let's stand together and let's pray. Father in heaven, we stand here in your presence this evening, and you heard every word that was spoken from this pulpit this evening, and you, even in the minds and hearts of each one who is here, you were there listening. So you know what each person heard. Father, I pray that we would aspire to be the best of what you call us to be. And we talked about several things here this evening that you say we are. And sometimes we identify ourselves as things other than these. But Lord, I pray that we would allow you to define us for who we are, and that we would allow your description of us to be the reality of our life, that we would be this person, that we would be that representative of you to the world around us, that we would be involved in bringing God and people together, that we would be a holy people, that we would be your peculiar treasure, that we would be strangers and pilgrims, that we would abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Lord, I pray that the truths of your word would sink deeply into our hearts and change us into people who are like God. Help us, Lord, to serve you better and better, and to love you more and more, and to be more effective in your work, in your kingdom. Give us safety as we go home tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.